Hey there, this is Jesse Scardina, news writer for SearchContentManagement.com.
And I'm Don Flugginger, executive editor of SearchContentManagement.com.
Welcome back to the States, Don. You were in Toronto for most of last week for OpenText's Enterprise World. How was it?
It was awesome. It was a lot cooler than it was last year. Last year, it felt like almost that. Vegas, you know, 5,000 degrees.
How was the flight and travel this time around? Any horror stories?
I will not disparage Air Canada like I did Porter Air last year, but
I got to say, I'm going to make it official on the podcast. I'm requesting the Enterprise World trip next year. I couldn't do it last year because I didn't have my passport expired, and you took it this year. But I'd love to take that Toronto trip away from you. Maybe we can trade. We'll negotiate conference coverage next year.
We'll have to flip a coin, but I will tell you, any listeners who are considering going to OpenText Enterprise World, and I'm not plugging the show, I'm not being paid by OpenText, but as far as business travel goes, it is very convenient. The city's nice. Everything's packed into the downtown core, which is what they call their center city. And the best part is, they used to have very inconvenient transportation from Lester Pearson Airport, which is about 20 miles, 30 miles outside of the downtown core. And, you know, imagine flying into Worcester and then having to get into downtown Boston in rush hour, Uber or whatever. It's just kind of long and inconvenient. They put in a high-speed rail that connects the airport to the convention center.
Wow.
$9 U.S. each way. And it just, you walk, step off the baggage claim, walk through a couple doors, you're on the train, 25 minutes later, a couple stops, you're there. And all the hotels are around there, so I stayed about a kilometer or six-tenths of a mile, whatever it was. So I just...
Still on the metric system, huh?
I stepped out of the train station, walked to my hotel, dumped off my stuff, grabbed my badge at the show, walked back to the hotel room. It was easy, easy, easy. This piece of cake compared to, like, Vegas or San Francisco. Those are a hassle.
Yeah, to get to the airport.
Even Orlando, you land 18 miles away from where you're going to be working all week. This is extremely convenient. And Toronto's a nice place.
Yeah. I mean, for conference coverage, I mean, it's, you know, those are long days. There's a lot for us to do. The less we need to worry about travel and Uber rides back and forth, if you're able to walk from the hotel to the convention center, it makes all the difference in covering, you know, something for a week like that.
And when people in Toronto, I go to stores and restaurants, whatever, while I'm on the trip, and people say, "Oh, you're from the U.S. How do you like Toronto?" And my catchphrase is, you know what? I love this place. It's like a cleaner, friendlier New York. And they like that compliment. So
when I see that on the next Toronto tourist ad, I don't know where it came from.
Then. Yeah, yeah. No, maybe I'll get paid for that damn tagline, right?
The cleaner, less expensive New York. OpenText is certainly a market leader in the content management, information management space. What were some of the main themes that came out of Enterprise World? I know they released kind of some new cloud products. What were some of the things that you saw?
Well, they have a new platform. OpenText has several content management platforms, and they like to refer themselves as a content services provider. Like, content management seems to be sort of a 90s or aughts term for what they did, which, when you think about it, it's like an application sitting on a server in the data center or whatever. And, of course, the whole world is moving to cloud, and also things are being appified. So they consider themselves to be a content services vendor, and they have sort of this platform layer, and then, you know, you have your data, and then the platform layer, and then apps and things like, you know, I saw a demo where somebody has Salesforce running on top of all that, where Salesforce pulls documents for life insurance.
Right, from OpenText.
Right, but you have to have, when you have life insurance, for example, there are medical documents and there's privacy around that. So the average insurance agent isn't privy to medical specifics on a particular applicant. They're only allowed to see the business stuff. So all of those services, document access, security, confirming security was done. where is the content? All of these services, and now they have AI and many other things they can put in that platform layer. So that platform's been around for a while.
Right.
And they came out with a new platform that's not replacing the old one, but it's sort of making it easier for hybrid, cloud, on-prem customers who have developers making apps, making services, making connectors between all these different apps and the content, more standardized.
Yep.
So before it was theoretically possible, but there was a lot of OpenText specific stuff that needed to be done before.
You needed a highly trained, skilled developer to make those connections.
And but now consultants it seems, and right. services and stuff, and now it's more standardized, you know, the DevOps environments and test farms and all that stuff. They also have containerized all their applications, which means you don't have to run it on the OpenText cloud anymore. Mm-hmm. You can put your stuff in a container and run it on Azure,
right?
On AWS, on Google Cloud, on any cloud.
And previously, it was just the OpenText cloud that their products ran on. And this opening up to the other public clouds is, I'm sure, a boon for customers that may have, you know, a plethora of different tools and software. It might be an Azure-based company, but they like OpenText tools. Now that kind of ties together.
Yeah, you're thinking like the CEO. Mark Barinaccia said specifically that while none of his customers are necessarily going to standardize on Azure tomorrow, it does open up new markets. OpenText customers are very large, and many of them have multinational locations. They're financial. They're very large companies, and they have to keep data in certain territories, and they have to keep some things on premise by law or by tradition, right? Because they don't trust it. And then OpenText has this massive cloud, and many customers have put some things in OpenText cloud. But Mark said, yes, this will open up new markets as more and more large companies, and maybe even some of ours, will standardize on Azure, on AWS, because that is where IT is going. And he wanted to get his company ahead of that. And also the app thing, where you can create an app from any of OpenText's many content services. They have, you know, plug and play, cookie cutter things. So you can take the OpenText module and then port it into your systems and create an app faster than you could before. So just standardizing. And that's OT2. That's the new platform that does this. But there's all the other platforms they previously had. They did not mention they were kicking any old products out to the curb.
I appreciate you saying that. I think like a CEO. Now I just have to figure out how to, you know, get paid like a CEO.
Oh, yeah,
that was a big disconnect
boss
there.
Boss question there, Jesse.
Right. You mentioned kind of the abundance of previous OpenText products. They have a very rich history of being of buying new products or other vendors, other companies, kind of being a steward to their maintenance stream. They've done that with Documentum and the HPE purchase a couple years ago. One purchase last year was Guidance Security. Is that what it is?
Yeah, Guidance Software.
Guidance Software. Do you see that purchase? At Enterprise World, did it seem like that purchase was similar, them kind of taking over a maintenance stream and a revenue stream of existing customers? Or do you see them actually building innovation off of that? I know you mentioned the importance of adding security to some of OpenText's capabilities because of, you know, the regulatory issues around that. What do you see with Guidance Software's future within OpenText?
Yeah, and I wrote a story about this as well as the OT2 introduction, so you can check that out at searchcontentmanagement.com if you want the deep dive. But yeah, basically, Guidance Software is a very interesting acquisition. Again, to quote Mark Barinaccia, the CEO, he said they are growing aggressively through acquisition. And so by that he meant we want to not only integrate pieces into the OpenText platform, but we want to buy customers and keep them happy. They trotted out the former CEO of LA County, who still got his hooks into the CEO part, but he's now assistant director of HR. But he's still de facto something of a CIO. And they brought him out because they're an old Documentum customer.
Right.
And so they brought him out to quiz him and talk about how OpenText has managed the Documentum platform. And L.A. County, 110,000 employees, they could have dumped Documentum. You know, the new corporate overlords, we don't like. We're going to get a different system. But they decided to stay. And sort of his story of why they decided to stay was part of the keynote. And then I actually was able to interview him for another Pipeline podcast, which will be posted probably in the next couple of weeks. So but this guy is very smart. So I definitely encourage you to listen to that. So getting back to guidance. Guidance is interesting. They have this application that I don't know what it costs now, but at one point, couple years ago, cost $60,000. It's called Encase.
Mm-hmm.
And Encase petrifies data from somebody's phone or laptop or other mobile devices so it's admissible in a court of law. So if you follow certain procedures, get the suspects, or in a civil case, you know, maybe somebody's stealing IP from your company, you get their phone, you put it in something called a Faraday bag, which prevents other data from touching it, you know, from Wi-Fi signals or whatever.
Okay.
And then you suck the data off the device and Encase petrifies it. And it is just a legally acceptable digital logger.
Yeah.
Right? And so that's one thing. So you have private investigators, local, state, and federal law enforcement, FBI. You have data forensicists. And the application has literally been seen on CSI. So they have this law enforcement bent, and then Guidance also had an e-discovery piece. So I don't know for sure, but I'm guessing that's where most of their revenue came from, because legal firms have to, in case discovery, come up with hundreds of thousands of
documents
pages.
Somebody
threw up a stat from Microsoft or something, like hundreds of thousands of pages in, and like 50 gigs ish, maybe a little more, of documents in the average e-discovery. But what is actually used in court is like 5 megs, exactly. 140 pages. But getting that, sifting through it, is so that's another piece. And a third piece of guidance is endpoint security. So, you know, managing laptops on a network so that nobody hacks in, right? The sort of like the firewall.
So does it seem like OpenText is just kind of continuing these products as is, or should users expect some growth or innovation? I mean, I'm sure some integration, obviously, with OpenText existing products. That's kind of a given when they acquire these, but is there any insight into what the future holds for guidance?
Yeah, and if you hold the OpenText CEO, Mark Marinaccia, to his word, he wants to service those existing customers and make the product better, but also he wants to integrate that technology and OpenText stuff. And to me, and there was a media scrum, and he answered questions from a number of us.
A gaggle, if you will.
I said, Why'd you buy it? What'd you want? Did you want the users? Did you want the
revenue
piece of technology?
Yeah.
And he said, specifically, we wanted endpoint security. Our private cloud has 50 million endpoints. And then another executive I interviewed later said that's mostly laptops. But soon it will be mobile devices. And many OpenText customers are doing pilots or feasibility studies for IoT. They need endpoint security to protect OpenText Cloud so that the hackers don't get in and steal financial data from other, you know, right?
Right, right.
That's due diligence security in today's day and age. But also, they do want to serve the customers that came from Guidance. And in talking to consultants and a customer, a 10-year Guidance customer, who does insurance investigations for Liberty Mutual. I'm like, how's it been going since they bought it 15 months ago? And, of course, it was a customer that OpenText guided me to. So, you always got to think about that. But he was, to a man, he said, look, we have OpenText products. And before Guidance, getting stuff from somebody's phone or laptop into OpenText from Guidance involves sometimes me bothering developers.
Yeah.
Who are, their job is to make reports and figure out how to sift through this stuff better, make better filters and processes, and I'm wasting their time. Now that OpenText owns guidance, we can, I can have guidance do
sure.
what I've been wasting my developers' time with. And also, guidance never had an AI piece. And
now with Magellan, they do.
Yes, OpenText AI is a very content management specific thing. It's smarter than a smart search, but it trains itself to find the things that you need. After
right.
it's sort of in its suggestions, and so it will eventually learn how to help you build a case and sift through those 500,000 documents in the IP case that
quicker.
Your lawyers brought in the
sure.
So hopefully, at least for the people who are investing all this money into guidance and whether it's the customers or OpenText, hopefully there will be a Magellan piece. I was also told this anecdote where apparently FBI investigators, when you get an investigation of a certain size, you have teams of 15 investigators on a case. And it used to be, you'd collect the phone here, you'd collect the laptop here, you'd go to, you'd have steps.
Yeah,
you'd follow.
Yeah.
And now, apparently, they're inundated. They get social media. They get all this. Phones are a lot more smarter than they used to be. Laptops. You can hide
tablets.
Your tracks a million ways. There's the Tor browser.
Yep.
And so they're deluged with all these different, appearing to be discrete data points, and you don't know where to start.
Right.
And OpenText hopes that Magellan AI will be able to start recognizing patterns faster and getting those 15 agents, two-week jump on sifting through all this stuff, because in this world, there's so much more data and it's so much more available than ever before.
I mean, there's certainly a synergy with having AI and security, especially, like you said, with all the different aspects of or avenues where data can come from and the different devices. It's really, the last 10 years, being in that sort of discovery field or that security field, that this couldn't have been an easy 10 years to navigate. And I think companies like OpenText are finally trying to find ways to help them a little better.
Yeah, and I talked to a data forensicist. He used to be in law enforcement, and now he breaks down devices and can find things that the average investigator can't, right?
Yeah.
He has the keys to the software, and he has also got the common sense to, if this is here, I'm going to look there. So guidance customers who are having a hard time catching the bad guys, or in one case, which was kind of funny, an employee was writing a novel on company time, and they had to prove that in order to fire them, right? He knows where to look when, if Instagram changes its data algorithm or the way it stores data on the phone, and there's no easy button in guidance to get that out because it just changed last week, and there's a big case, they hand it to him, right? And I said to him, what's AI going to help you? And he said, very specifically, link analysis, because whether you're a bad guy or not, you maybe talk with somebody on text, and then you talk with them on Facebook Messenger because that's what's on your device right now. Maybe you send them an email, but AI can find patterns and sort of show you a whole conversation. Whether you were flipping from app to app to throw law enforcement off your trailer.
Yeah.
That's just the way you live, which I can tell you I do. I have
yeah.
conversations with people on
different, three or four different apps. Yeah.
Whatever I feel like.
WhatsApp, Slack, SMS.
I play Words with Friends with people,
yeah.
and I talk with people on Words with Friends Messenger.
Chat, yep.
And maybe I'll text them later because I'm not in Words with Friends.
Yeah.
It's just we flip all over the place, and even for old dudes like me, it's second nature. So that's what AI will, that's what he's looking forward to. Because, very pragmatic.
So that employee writing the novel on company time reminds me that I should get my screenplay off of my work computer.
But, it's too late.
You already got it?
It's too late.
Well, you can tell I'm keeping this job because obviously it's not that good. Anyway, that's enough here with us at searchcontentmanagement.com. seems like you enjoyed yourself in Toronto and at Enterprise World. So, yeah, again, check the stories on searchcontentmanagement.com and look out for the other podcasts that will be coming from that. Conference. Thanks for the time, Don.
Thank you, Jesse.